Chapter 3. Getting Help. I was still afraid of the men finding me, so I continued walking and, for the first time, I decided to cross the river. The long bridge was as crowded as the train station. Most of the people on it looked busy and they were hurrying across it. There were big families moving in groups, people carrying heavy things on their heads, and a lot of homeless people begging. I pushed through the crowds until I reached the other side of the river. After my time with the railway man, I was much more careful of talking to people. But I also knew that I had to find another person who could help me, like the homeless man. One day, I was looking for food near some shops when a boy walked by and noticed me. He looked like he was the same age as Gudu, and he said something to me. He did not look dangerous, so I stopped and listened. He spoke slowly and asked me, "What are you doing? And what's your name?" I told him about myself, and he invited me to stay with his family. I was unsure, but something inside me felt that this boy was good, so I decided to trust my feelings. I followed him home. I was right. The boy treated me kindly, and I stayed with his family for a few days. But he was also doing more for me, because one day he said, "I'm going to take you to a place to get help." He took me to a large police station, and I immediately started to panic. Was he taking me to prison? But he promised that the policemen could help me. He spoke to them for some time, and finally he came back. "I'm going to leave you here with the policeman," the boy said to me. "Don't worry, they'll look after you." I was still very unsure, but I trusted the boy, and I had nowhere else to go. I did not know it then, but this boy was saving my life. Today, there are thousands of homeless children in Kolkata. Many of them die when they are still young, so I was lucky to get this help. I was taken to a police station and kept in a room that had a bed. I did not know what was happening, but I went to sleep. The next morning, I was given food, and then I was put inside a truck with other children. We were taken to a building where some people asked us lots of questions. I told them about myself, but I did not even know my last name. I was just Saru. I described my home, but they did not know Ginestle or Berhampur. In the end, because they could not find my home, they wrote on my report that I was lost. Next, I was taken to another building, which had a big metal door. Lilua was a home for children with nowhere else to go. I was not sure if it was a nice place, but I did not want to go back to the streets. I went inside. The home was actually a group of large buildings. I was taken to a huge one with hundreds of children who were playing or sitting in groups. They slept in an enormous hall which was full of beds. It was like a hospital, or maybe a school. I was happy to get food and a bed, but soon the place began to feel more like a prison than a school. There were not enough beds for all the children, so sometimes three or four of us had to share one, or we had to sleep on the floor. Many of the children had terrible lives. Some of them were lost, like me. Some children came from bad families who hurt them, and some looked very ill. I saw children with no arms or legs. Some children never spoke, and other children cried and screamed in the night. There were also dangerous, violent children, who were often much older than me. Once again, I had to look after myself. I was small, so it was easy for some of the bigger boys to push and hit me. I quickly learned to stay away from them. The adults were not helpful, maybe because there were too many children at the home. Usually they just hit us all if there was any trouble. It was a horrible, violent place. How long did I have to live here? During those few weeks, some children left the home, but I was never sure where they went. Maybe their families came to get them? I really hoped for the same for me one day. And finally, I was allowed to leave too. I was taken into an office and I was told that I was going to another, nicer home. I was not going back to my family, but I was leaving this terrible place. Mrs. Saroj Sood, who was from the Indian Society for Sponsorship and Adoption, ISSA, came to speak to me. She said, "We still don't know who you are or where your home is, but we are going to try to find it." She was looking for Berhampur. While she looked, I could live in Navajivan, her orphanage for very young children. Navajivan was in a small blue building, and it was a nice change from Lilua. As I walked inside with Mrs. Sood, other children appeared from the rooms to watch us. The walls were colourful with pictures, so it felt like a friendly place. I still shared my room with other children, and sometimes we had to sleep on the floor, but I was looked after. In the mornings, we washed ourselves and cleaned our teeth, and in the evenings, we were given hot milk and biscuits. There were some bad children in this orphanage too, but they were not as bad as the children in Lilua. If children were naughty, the adults might be cross, but they never hit us. I made friends with some of the children in Navajivan. One girl, Azra, is still my friend today. A short time later, Mrs. Sood came to speak to me again. She still could not find my mother, and she wanted to find a new home for me with new parents. As I listened to her, I slowly began to understand that I could never go home. Part of me already knew that I would not see my family again. After living alone in Kolkata, I was a different person, and this city now felt like my world. Maybe I was becoming more like my brothers, who looked after themselves. I was surprised that the adults could not find my home, but my feelings were not as painful as before. After only 4 weeks in Navajivan, Mrs. Sood found a husband and wife who wanted to take me to their home. They lived in another country, which was called Australia. I knew nothing about it, but she said, "It's a good place, and some other children, like Azra, are going there too." I was given a red photograph album which had "Dear Saru" written on the front. It had pictures of my new family and their home. They looked so different from the people in India. They were white. The album had photographs of my new mother and father, who were called Mr. and Mrs. Briley, their home and their car. Everything looked so big and new. Azra got a photograph album from her new family too, and she was always asking the adults if she could look at it. 7 other children were going to Australia with me. We were very excited, and we soon started to get ready for the journey. There was not enough time for English lessons, but I was taught how to use a knife and fork, because in India we usually ate with our hands. A few days later, we said a sad goodbye to Mrs. Sood, who was not coming with us. Three women from Australia came to the orphanage to take us to our new families. It was my first time on an aeroplane, so the journey was very exciting, with movies, free food, and comfortable seats. I was given new clothes to wear, which were from my new parents, and the children were allowed to choose a toy from the airport shop. I chose a small car, which I still have today. Today, I know that my aeroplane flew very close to my home in India. I think about my mother. Did she look up in the sky and see me flying over her? Mrs. Sood with me and Azra. Me at the Nava Jivan Orphanage. The photograph album that my new mum made for me. For Saru, Nava Jivan. This plane will bring you to Australia. This is the house that will be our home and how your father will welcome you. This is the city where we live.